baby.
Yeah, right. But no, you're absolutely right.
Here, this kind of feels maybe lazy a little bit.
Welcome to Set Cheddar Park. Movie screenings.
Why not, you know?
Yeah, at that point, why not?
It's got to be Saturday somewhere. It's just so familiar.
It's hilarious. I think we did like 5 shows on this movie.
My name is Tom Cole.
Oh, you bite your tongue if this does not hold up.
Cream corn tonight.
Cream corn tonight.
That should be good corn time. It's a movie. Just wait for the big giveaway at 9.
Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
How's the world treating you, sir?
Doing okay. You know, I'm glad it's the weekend. I have a more or less zero planned weekend. No events or anything, so it's all good. Oh, how about you?
Yes, same, which is great. And it's so hot that I'm like, you know what? If there were plans, they would be canceled because it's too hot to go anywhere.
I hear ya.
You got to just sit inside and watch Capricorn 1 all weekend.
What else would you be doing on a Saturday except for that?
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
I don't know.
What else would you be doing? We have a great show tonight. You're listening to, of course, to Set Cheddar Saturdays. Check out Robert's website at setcheddar.com and follow him on Instagram at set_cheddar. So tonight we're going to do What You've Been Watching, revisiting the Razzies by year, special tagline movie quiz, which I'm really jazzed about. Robert's going to grill me, and Blind Man's Bluff.
All right.
All right, so let's kick it off with what you've been watching. Let's start with you, Robert. What is new?
Well, because we discussed it at the last movie, I watched Rent-A-Cop with Liza Minnelli and Burt Reynolds.
Did you really? Did you watch it?
It's on Tubi. Where else would it be?
Where else would it be? Tubi's where dreams come true. How was it?
Oh, it was flat. I'll call it a flat movie. You know, like there wasn't too much kind of going for it. So if you saw the trailer, you saw the movie pretty much. So
it wasn't that much better than the trailer.
Yeah, I love that Liza Minnelli's a call girl.
Right.
Which you are at that age, you know, but
of course.
It was much to get through, and at some point you start doing other stuff because like where's this movie going?
But 10 minutes in you're like, "You know what? I will start washing the windows." Was Rent-A-Cop, so this was 88?
Must have been 88, yeah, because I 88? Think we covered at the last Razzies, yeah.
Right. So was this towards the tail end of Burt Reynolds' career as like a true leading man where he could like bring him in, or was it past
that? Yeah, he kind of ran out of, you know, post-Smoking the Bandit, and it wasn't, you know. Yeah, nobody's going to the latest Burt Reynolds film.
Right, no, that's what I'm trying to get to. They weren't rushing out to see him.
No, but and we had another almost decade before Boogie Nights. But So you know, you just made these movies in Chicago apparently, and
Rent-A-Cop. Yeah, very very Chicago heavy. Did Dionne Warwick was in it too? Did she have a big part?
No, she had a small part, which is it was almost like a Madonna, where it's like jarring, you know, like oh, let's go visit so whatever character's name. It's like, oh, it's Dionne Warwick, you know, like
it's Dionne Warwick playing Dionne Warwick, and you're like, there she is.
Yeah, it was flat is the word I would use. So there's just nothing to it. So nothing. It's not even bad enough to be amusing, you know what I mean? Just
I
watched it. You don't have to watch it. I watched it for you.
Oh, thank you for taking the plunge. Taking one for the team. Rent-A-Cop.
And more recently I watched Infinity Pool, which with Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth, which I kind of heard a lot about when it was out. And it was fine, you know, nothing I need to see again, nor would I necessarily recommend it either. It's just like,
okay. So it was fine, but we're not scrambling to get it again.
No. It's kind of, if you need to fall asleep to something some night, there you go. So
did you watch that film at Sundance this year?
No, I think it was at Sundance, and there was some hype about it, but people were kind of talking about it, you know, but it felt like an extended Black Mirror episode.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was had some interesting pieces, but I was like, at some point, I'm like, all right, let's wrap this up.
Okay, let's do it. I did think when I saw Alexander Skarsgård, I did immediately think of The Stand 2020, of course. Well, yeah. His finest role.
Him dancing to Vegas. All 80 people in Vegas.
Right, right. He's dancing. It's fantastic.
Oh, all roads lead to The Stand. You know that.
Of course. I did watch more of Black Mirror, but I'll wait till I'm finished the whole season to get into it. But you said you've binged that, right? You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I watched them all. Yeah, just gotta do it. Gotta do it.
Okay.
I also watched 65. Since that was
which one? 65.
So that's the dinosaur one.
Oh, right, right, right. I was gonna watch that the other day, but I didn't. Was it good?
It was. Here's the thing. Another thing. It's fine. Like nothing. I would. Good. You didn't pay money to see it in the theater.
Okay.
Good enough for a Saturday afternoon viewing. You'll never watch it again. You know. But.
Yeah. You don't think you'll ever see it again?
No. There's. Yeah. It has some good effects. So. It does. It's sad. You know, because you can tell they dumped quite a bit of money into it. But.
Yeah. So like the effects hold up?
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah.
Does Adam Driver, is it kind of like, is it mostly him in the whole movie or are there other characters?
There's one other character, mostly, yeah.
Okay.
But
65.
Yeah. If it was, you know, only watch if it's free. Don't pay for it.
It's better than The Lost World.
Sarah
Harding.
That's the other character. He's trapped with Sarah Harding.
That's what they should have done. It should have been Jeff Goldblum rehashing The Lost World.
He's just always slightly out of, you know, like, you know, every night.
Right.
He'll hear like, Sarah.
Who is that? Where is he?
And there's,
he's out there.
Have Julianne Moore with her Canon camera. Click. Hey, Nick.
Click. I've been out here for weeks.
And I just realized I shouldn't be making all this noise.
Right. And how did I survive? Oh, I had a couple Nutri-Grain bars.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah, she's fine, whatever. I'm just walking around with these bloody clothes. Nothing's the matter. I know what I'm doing. Speaking of Julianne Moore, I did rewatch Still Alice. So,
how is this?
I saw it in the theater and I watched every few years, so I assume she was Academy nominated for this. I'm not sure, but she plays a character that has early Alzheimer's.
Good call.
So she is really good in it, and they have pretty good supporting cast. So,
I think she was nominated, or she should have been.
Right. Yeah. Either way, I'm nominating her for that year. So, I watched a couple episodes of The Greatest Geek Year Ever, 1982, and I wish it was better, you know. It's
really, yeah, it was like it almost there, but not.
It could be because like they have a lot of great interviews, and they kind of so far they kind of been, they're going through it in 1982, and they kind of focus on one movie within the episode, and so, you know, like E.T. was one of them. They took, you know, kind of a semi deep dive, you know, but, and maybe it's because like I know all the stories, or, you know, I was like, yeah, I've like, okay, you know, what else?
Yeah.
Bring it on. So, but I'll continue to watch the episodes. But I kind of feel like I think some YouTubers have probably done a better job on looking at 1982. And it's like, you're a year late, people.
You're late. Yeah, that's true. When they miss the mark like that, you're like, okay, I get it. Do you feel, how many episodes are there?
I don't know. I've watched two, I think, so I'm not sure how many there's going to be, but, and I can't remember where it's, I had to find it somewhere on the cable, but.
Okay.
It's, but yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. On the Robert rating system, I'm going to say this falls in hotel viewing only.
Well, I'm watching it live, but yeah, I will never own it because, yeah, probably. I could watch it. Yeah, it is good hotel.
Would you fold laundry to it?
I would, because
so you can that changes
walk
everything.
Away at any moment. Yeah. I've heard all your stories, D. Wallace.
Yeah, D. Wallace, I get it. You and your Cujo hair.
Also went down a little bit of a rabbit hole of I end up rewatching Rules of Attraction, which is one of my favorite books and favorite movies. It was written by Bret Easton Ellis. It was follow-up to Less Than Zero, so So I thought they did a good job. And I can't remember how I started kind of, I think he might be coming out with a new book. And for some reason, I'm like, oh, I'll put that on. And then I watched a couple more of his movies he was either involved with or wrote the screenplays or it was based on the book. So one of them I rewatched was The Informers, which is like, I feel like I wanted to like it more than I should.
The Informers.
Because it does have a good cast in it. Billy Bob Thornton. Winona Ryder is really good in it. But then it's kind of like, it's never quite as good as Rules of Attraction or even Less Than Zero. Less Than Zero is not that great of a movie, but they kind of capture the flavor, right? So, and then I decided to watch Smiley Face Killers.
Oh, some light fanfare for the weekend,
which he also, I think he wrote the screenplay. And I was like, oh, I never watched it, and there's no reason. But it's fine. I will be doing locations for it because, you know.
Smiley Face Killers, first memory, these are the New York murders?
No, this is, no.
Which one was Smiley Face? Was it?
So this is, it's supposed to be kind of based on not an urban legend or whatever, but it's teenagers in trouble.
Got it. Okay.
I think so. And
okay.
Kind of being stalked, and there's a twist at the end, and you know, so it's really, it's not that well acted. Because it's Brett Easton Ellis, I had to feel like I had to give it a shot. So,
And Crispin Glover's in it?
Yeah.
As hooded figure?
Yeah. So you can guess who he is. I'm not going to give it away, but hooded figure.
Right. Right. Who would he play? Of course.
Who could it be?
Crispin Glover.
Yeah. So there's some good. Like it's virgin on, like there's some good kind of set pieces that could be in there, but it never quite does it. So
yeah, I love the mark.
It's all like the establishing shots are all small town and water tower in the middle of nowhere, and then it's like
of course
houses in Pasadena, like
right. I was hoping they do that. They're like Waldrop, Kentucky, and there's like the water tower and like the train, and then next thing you know they're in, you know, Altadena, and you're like
yeah.
That's not Kentucky.
Yeah, I was like, I think that's not it. Or I was like, where are they supposed to be? Anyway. And I watched Splash.
Splash.
1984. Not the Disney version. Disney did a little bit of editing.
Yes.
But, I have not. My sister had watched it, I think, a couple weeks ago. And I thought I was flipping through. I was like, oh, you know what? Let me stop and give this a rewatch. And
yeah, how does it hold up?
It holds up pretty well, considering that there's some parts I forgot, some parts I was still laughing at. You know, I think
John Candy's great.
John Candy, yeah, everybody has good comedic timing. Daryl Hannah's good. I mean, everybody's good in it.
Yeah,
and so there's nothing kind of, you know, Eugene Levy is everybody's good. So
yeah,
it still kind of holds up, and
that is a fun movie.
Yeah, so good for them. If you haven't seen it, Splash.
Check out Splash. And I know the editing you're talking about, that Daryl Hannah, like, they made her hair, like, extra long.
Yeah, it was already long to begin with. Like, you could already, it was always like, well, that's not how long, you know, I was like,
right.
God forbid, should we see a butt?
Yeah, absolutely not. On a mermaid. I mean, please. But, yeah, when they did that, you're like, just cut the scene at that point. If you're so adamant about not showing it, just
What's the kid going to think, you know?
Like, somebody actually took the time to do that frame by frame. So you're like,
ugh. I think it was PG at the time, too. So
I think you're right.
Yeah. But, and the Finn is, I mean, it's good effects.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's a movie I don't visit often enough as I should, but maybe, I don't even know. I think I've only seen it maybe twice, but like, I enjoy it more than twice. I've probably seen it like three times or something, but it's fun.
And I saw a couple behind the scenes things, and Daryl Hannah was talking about how worried Tom Hanks was that he felt like he was ruining the movie. Like he wasn't very good in it. And
he was like worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. Especially, and that was like kind of the start of his career. Was that after Big?
No, it was before Big. So, but I think after Bosom Buddies, and he had been
right.
in a horror movie or two or something like that, but nothing as the lead, you know, and this kind of made him Tom Hanks.
He created quite the splash.
Yeah. And they, but I think that's about it. So what have you been watching?
Some light fanfare, Jaws 3D, Field of Dream. Oh, there it is. Oh,
you know, today's about the that day. Shirt. Today is the 40th anniversary. So if you're, it's July 22nd, whenever you're listening to this. So today is the actual 40th anniversary.
Wow. Is it really?
It is. So
that changes everything.
It does. Brian actually did some locations for that. He posted today, so you'll have to check those out. But
oh, very cool.
Yeah. I remember going opening day.
That's amazing that you get to see Jaws 3D in the theater. How did the 3D effects hold up?
They did a re-release last year or the year before. We saw it in 3D again, in the actual 3D, not
in an actual.
And actually, and I do have a 3D TV, so I did when they released that. So I've seen a couple of variations. It's still, there's parts that still kind of work, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah, so classy movie.
Calvin,
Calvin Lugas Bouchard.
Kevin Bouchard.
Yeah.
His lines, his one-liners are so great in that movie. Just so much fun.
Every Oscar winner should follow up with a Jaws 3D.
You know, I read an article recently where Randy Dennis Quaid? Dennis Quaid?
Yes, Dennis, yeah.
Said he was high on cocaine for the movie. And he said every frame that you see, I was high on coke. Like, literally every frame. I'm like, yeah, okay.
It's the 80s.
I believe it.
Well,
I do like that SeaWorld let them film there, and just that's just SeaWorld. So 80s, yeah. It's great. Like, we got the plans right here. We're doing a press conference, and even the humor's kind of underrated. You know, when the woman in charge of, like, the employees is like, you know, if I see any cheek, you'll be swapping fries for the rest of the day.
Shoveling French fries. Show any cheek. Be back for
it's like a military drill. It's like, what are you doing? It's so much fun.
It's like, is this day one? where they're like doing the training all in ones. Like, you know, you're starting on 2 hours. Welcome to SeaWorld.
Welcome to SeaWorld. You know, every movie has their mistakes, and I don't harp on them, but if you look at the ones in Jaws 3D, it's funny. Like, for example, the pyramid of the water skiers changes numbers. Like, it's 10, oh, 11, it? And 10. Yeah, like in the beginning, I never knew. Yeah. There's so much fun in that movie, Jaws 3D.
Leah Thompson getting her start.
Getting her start. You know, there's a theory, and obviously the writers, and it wasn't intended for this at all, but there's a fan theory that the shark is actually a megalodon. Because it's too big to be an actually great white. It's 35 feet. Mm. And obviously there's no water. It doesn't hold water, but it is kind of interesting, like, to think that. Because the shark is like twice the size of the one in Jaws 1. It's like, yeah, huge.
They went overboard and
and you never see it. Like, there's only one shot of the shark above water.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, it's always, you know, they didn't have the budget for it.
They tried. I'll say that. So
they tried.
It is still one of my favorites. So 40 years. I remember we were in New York like a week or two before, and I would see the huge Jaws 3D billboards, and I was getting so excited because I was going to see a Jaws on the big screen for the first time.
Yeah. Yeah. And aren't you glad they did SeaWorld and SeaWorld let them do it, and we have that now? You know, it's not just another Amity Island or something. No. They went to SeaWorld. Like, of course. Why not? It's a cool setting.
It could still, you know, it's not too far, like, with, like, the Meg movies, or, you know, like, people, or the Piranha movies, they want to see that kind of chaos and,
yeah,
you know, but now they probably would have gone way overboard, and one probably be bigger shark, but SeaWorld is probably welcome. Like, please, we need the money.
We need the money. Please do it. Please do it. I did tweet them once, because SeaWorld follows me on Twitter, of all people, and I tweeted, I'm surprised SeaWorld doesn't use Jaws 3D in their marketing more. And they replied back, we may or may have not, like, mentioned it at times. And I was thinking, it's a cult classic. You guys should embrace it. Like, you should. I know it's a universal licensing thing, but, like, there should be more of an effort.
You should tweet them today. Today's the anniversary.
Today's the anniversary, yes.
Do it.
Jaws 3D. And that was, so the actual theatrical release was July 22nd?
Yes.
1983.
Yeah, 13-year-old Robbie was in the theater.
Well, that's so cool. Were you scared?
I think before I was a little scared because I was like, you know, this is my first Jaws to see in the, you know, and I was still in a frightening mode. I'd never seen a Friday the 13th or anything. So this was as close as I kind of got to horror at the time. So
it's spooky.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, happy anniversary, Jaws 3D. Yes. We love you.
I feel like I'll rewatch it tonight, maybe. So
yeah, I think I'm going to do the same.
Yeah.
Again. So Jaws 3D I watched. I rewatched Field of Dreams, one of your favorite movies, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. It's just wonderful. Oh, that's Dottie Goodman's in Splash. I forgot. I always forget that she plays the secretary.
Who?
Dottie Goodman. She played the Dottie secretary Goodman, yeah. In Grease. And she just has a tiny parts or whatever. And she's like wearing a bra outside her clothes on one thing, and I was laughing. And I forget the other line I laughed because she was like, ABC called, CBS, NBC, and now I forget the name of the fish company.
Yeah. It is funny. Anyway. It is great.
So, but Field of Dreams.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, classic.
Next state over.
I'll visit of course.
One day.
One day I'll make it there. I watched a movie called Rommel. It's a German movie about General Rommel from World War II. It was very well done, but they tried to Rommel. If you're unfamiliar, he was a Nazi general, but he wasn't a Nazi, so to speak. He was just a soldier fighting for his country, but he was still a Nazi. So you can't really glorify somebody like that. So I felt like the filmmakers did a good job of showing the historical accuracy. And I mean, he ended up trying to overturn Hitler and kill Hitler, and he got put to death for it and everything, and or committed suicide because of it. So I felt like they did a good job in the film of not glorifying him, but showing kind of where the world was.
You said it's a German film?
It's a German film. I think it was newer. It might have been in the last 5 years or something. No, it's 2012. So, yeah. But I felt like they did a good job.
Okay.
I've also watched... and I watched The Geography of Bliss, the new series with Rainn Wilson. It's just okay.
Is that where they kind of follow him around?
Yeah, they follow him around from different parts of the world, and you know, it's fun. You want to watch Dwight from The Office, and he kind of gives you that a little bit.
Yeah,
but the show doesn't really have so much of a purpose. He's kind of like, well, we're going to Norway today, or we're going to Iceland because they say it's the happiest place in the world, and we're going to find out why. And they just show him like doing things, which is kind of cool. But there's not really like Anthony Bourdain. He was there for the food. You knew what you were getting. It was on. Rainn Wilson, you don't like, is he interviewing people? Is he like talking about the history? It's kind of all over the place.
Just kind of there.
Yeah. I don't think I'll continue.
Yeah. I don't. And he had some weird interview quotes lately with
how
unhappy he was on The Office that he wasn't more successful. And I'm like, we're not really feeling sorry for you. You know,
I know. I watched that interview too with Bill Maher, and he was saying how I wanted to be Jack Black and this. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking more people watch The Office than Jack Black movies.
Yeah.
Like, you were in the most beloved sitcom next to Seinfeld, like ever.
People still watch you. Nobody wants to. Have you seen I Still Know What You Did Last Summer? Come on.
Right. He was in The Meg.
That's right. So maybe he should feel a little sorry for himself. But, you know. Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree. You were in The Office. Like, that's... Be happy. That's not enough fame for you, really?
Yeah. So, yeah, your movies were all over the place.
All over the place. quite a potpourri of film there.
Not a rent-a-cop in sight.
Not a rent-a-cop in sight, filmed in Chicago. And that'll bring us to revisiting the Razzies by year. And tonight we say goodbye to the 80s as the 10th Golden Raspberry Awards was first held on March 25th, 1990. And these are 1989 films. And we have some good ones in here. And by good, I mean 89. Bad, which is good.
Yeah. So should we start at the bottom again and work our way up to... Okay. So for That's Worst good. Original Song, a couple of the nominees were... Pet Sematary, from the movie Pet Sematary, written by Dee Dee Ramone, and which I'm not sure, it seemed fine. It worked for the time. I mean,
yeah,
people still kind of sing it, you know? Another nominee was Let's Go from A Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
Let's go, let's go.
I have no idea. And the winning song is also from Nightmare on Elm Street 5. I don't think they liked Elm Street 5 for some reason. Because
that's it.
All they had, you know, two nominees and one winner. But the winner was Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
Bring Your Daughter to the Slaughter.
This is the Bruce Dickinson version. I think it was bought by Iron Maiden or somebody later and made into a more popular song.
Right. You know, it's funny. Not only do I think Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. By the way, do you like or dislike Nightmare on Elm Street 5?
I liked it better than Dream Master, cool. Just slightly. Because it
better than the fourth one?
Yeah, because okay. I thought it was a little bit more interesting cinematography and verging on kind of some more interesting story. But you could tell it's like, yeah, we're done, but...
Yeah. And they did bump out a lot of Elm Streets in a short time.
Yeah.
It was like every year. But I feel like not only should Nightmare on Elm Street 5 not have two nominations, but they shouldn't have had two songs that they were like collaborating people on, you know? Like, I don't know if it warranted that.
Yeah. When we kind of go through the list of, I was like, they all have horrible songs in there. So I think
they do.
I think we can pick some out of there. So. Go ahead.
I was going to say, when previous Razzies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles should have been nominated as worst soundtrack. That was a doozy.
John Hughes did pick good soundtracks, though.
Yeah. Well, I love the soundtrack because you associate it with the movie, but like some of the songs, they were just like, they weren't hits or anything. They were just bad.
Yeah. Or even then, he didn't want to pay for the originals and have somebody else sing The Smiths or something. Which is like, come on. It's John Hughes. Don't.
Right.
You can afford Morrissey, I would think. But
anyway. You could, of course.
Worst screenplay. So nominees included Tango and Cash, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier, Roadhouse, which is being remade or has been remade, I think. I can't remember.
Roadhouse. You're right.
The Karate Kid Part 3.
Danielson.
But the winner, worst screenplay, was Harlem Nights, written by Eddie Murphy.
Never seen it. But I know on paper it's supposed to be, it's supposed to look good because it's got him and Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
But it was I don't know. I thought it was a hit, but maybe it was it bad? Have you seen it?
I remember seeing it once and it reeks of a vanity project and it was probably says, I'll give you Beverly Hills Cop 2 if you give me that, you know, or something like that. So.
He directed it. Yeah.
So it's should be.
Yeah.
It's fine. You know. I'm sure some people love it, but speaking of worst director, he was one of the nominees for worst director. Rowdy Harrington for Roadhouse, Jim Drake for Speed Zone, John Avildsen for The Karate Kid Part 3, but the winner for worst director is William Shatner for Star Trek V, The Final Frontier,
now,
which I also saw in the theater.
I'm sure you did. I'm glad you did. Yep. I'd be disappointed if you hadn't. Yep. Did William Shatner direct multiple Star Treks?
No, this was so.
This is an interesting entry. Like, I got the fifth one, guys. Let me do this one.
So he kind of had a deal. So like Leonard Nimoy had a kind of deal for him to come back for Star Trek 3. He also wanted to direct it. He did a pretty good job, enough that they let him direct Star Trek 4. And I think one of the deals with Shatner was like Shatner would come back for 4 if he could direct the next one. So
okay,
it kind of
it was one of those things.
Yeah. Now
when Roy Scheider got out of doing the Deer Hunter by doing like Jaws 2,
mm-hmm.
Boy, that was a career mistake. You know,
who knew?
I'll pass on the Deer Hunter and I'll do Jaws 2.
Oh, he had his thing, but sure. Yeah. So worst supporting actress. Kurt Russell in drag in Tango and Cash. I don't remember him being in drag in Tango and Cash, but obviously I probably have not seen that movie multiple times.
Yeah, not good.
I feel like I need to watch it now. Madonna in Bloodhounds in Broadway, which you are watching, or did you just watch? Or
no, I haven't watched it.
Gotcha.
I was just joking, but but this is one of those movies that only brought in like thousands of dollars versus like multiple million-dollar budget. It's always so sad. Rutger Hauer's in it. Matt Dillon, Jennifer Grey. You've seen this movie, Robert? Steve Buscemi?
No, I have not.
Okay. I've never heard of it. I'm very familiar. Very curious about it.
Yeah. I've seen pictures of her in the movie, but one of these decades, I'll watch another Madonna movie.
One of these decades.
Also nominated, Anne Bancroft in Burt Rigby, You're a Fool, which I know Anne Bancroft, but I'm not familiar with that movie. Angeline as herself in Earth Girls Are Easy.
Earth Girls Are Easy. It's a cult classic.
It is. I'm not sure why they picked her out because she's five seconds in it that they have something that gets her.
And Jim Carrey's first film, unless it was the Dirty Harry movie.
I think Once Bitten. He was Once before bitten. This. And I think, the Deadpool. Was probably all before.
Welcome to the jungle scene.
But Jeff Goldblum and Gina Davis, I think this is their first movie together. So
yeah.
I still love Earth Girls Are Easy. And I just met Julie Brown. We didn't talk about that. We talked about Madonna when we were at the Hollywood show. So.
Oh, right.
But the winner for Worst Supporting Actress was Brooke Shields in Speed Zone. Which I
what
have
is
not
Speed
seen.
Zone, sir?
I don't know. Please let it be on Tubi.
please.
John Candy's in it. It looks like.
Hmm.
Oh, now it seems slightly familiar. So
don't know that one.
I see the poster, but so I'm gonna take a look sometime. Hopefully, this is on Tubi, and I will put this as my homework.
Tubi will always come through for you, Robert.
If it's not always Razzies, it's got to be good.
It's got to be good. Speed Zone. Congratulations, Brooke.
As a stewardess herself. So,
yes, stewardess herself.
Now, she had some, was it Suddenly Susan? Was that her comedy show?
I think so.
I think she had some decent comedic acting chops. But
mm-hmm. For sure.
We're supporting actor, Donald Sutherland for Lockup.
Which also stars Sly.
Pat Morita for The Karate Kid Part 3. Mm. DeForest Kelly for Star Trek V. He was fine. Leave that poor old man alone. So.
Yeah, leave him alone. What did he do to you?
I guess there was some. Well, speaking, have you seen Star Trek V? Or it's probably not a. You probably don't have a good memory of it. So
I don't think so.
Because they do their rendition of row your boat.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay.
What that should have been nominated for worst song. Maybe it has to be worst original song, but
row, row, row your boat.
Yeah, with the three leads. But
oh, I gotta find it.
Oh, it is. Oof.
It's hard.
It is difficult to get through, but
yikes.
Also nominated, Ben Gazzara in Roadhouse, but the winner was Christopher Atkins in Listen to Me.
Listen to Me. What is that?
I don't know. I know Chris Atkins, but
Listen to Me. It was the best time of their lives. It looks like a. Well, Kirk Cameron's the lead, so count me in.
Jamie Gertz. I think I have a couple of things to add to my homework list that I have not seen. So this was my 88-89 was my first year of college. So as you can imagine, I was elsewhere. My mind
you
was
weren't watching Kirk Cameron on the big screen. You're watching on the tiny screen in Growing Pains.
But we would go to the 99-cent movies to see Karate Kid Part 3.
Yeah.
Worst actress nominees include Ally Sheedy for Heart of Dixie, Paulina Porizkova in Her Alibi, which I do remember seeing. It's not good. Brigitte Nielsen in Bye Bye Baby. Brigitte always seems to show up for every role that she's ever done.
They always get her.
Jane Fonda in Old Gringo, but the winner is Heather Locklear in The Return of the Swamp Thing.
Yes.
She is no Adrienne Barbeau, but
she certainly is not. I've seen Return of the Swamp Thing. It's,
oh, have you? I have not.
Yeah.
Is it
not good? Not good. Swamp Thing, I didn't think was like great. I get what they're doing. It's interesting concept, but not a go-to of mine. But what do I know?
Yeah. Worst actor nominees: Patrick Swayze in Next of Kin and Roadhouse.
Double whammy.
Sylvester Stallone, also a double whammy for Lock Up and Tango and Cash. Ralph Macchio in The Karate Kid Part 3 as Daniel LaRusso.
That weight gain wasn't helping anybody. Hey, I just got off the plane. I also just gained 50 pounds on the plane coming back from Japan.
People should edit all three movies together because they really do take a place within, you know, like he just comes from Okinawa, you know, like, and it's like, what happened? I'm always like, what'd you eat on the plane? Jeez.
The weight gain is so significant in three. And for anybody, it's fine. It's not, yeah. He's not.
And he's older, but, you know, like.
Right. But it's the weight gain and the age discrepancy. Mm-hmm. You know, I just came back from Okinawa.
Yeah.
And he was like 40 pounds heavier.
Leaving girls left and right, you know.
Right.
It's like, who? I don't know.
The actress, I forget her name, the actress in 2, was in the Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
In the third one. And you're like, boy, they didn't have much trouble getting him in Cobra Kai. But then it was like, we're going to pass in Karate Kid 3. Like, yeah. They knew, like, no. We're not
moving on, so... Yeah. Is it Robin Lively that's in Karate Kid 3? I was so excited that she brought macaroni and cheese because
had to. Perfect.
We still talk about love macaroni and cheese. I think that's what I love use as my movie anniversary tagline and her getting kicked in the stomach. Like, oof.
Oh, so rough. I feel
so
like
good.
She needs to open up a store of macaroni and cheese. Like a pop-up shop.
What I was waiting for, like, she's like, especially she didn't pull up in her mac and cheese food truck.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, exactly.
Because, you know, that wouldn't be out of the realm of Cobra Kai type thing. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But the winner, we have more nominee. Tony Danza, and She's Out of Control, which I think was a teenager gone wild where he's the dad or something, if I remember right. So.
Oh, okay.
Worst actor, though, for the winner, William Shatner for Star Trek V. Now, he was... fine. He was doing double duty, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Cut him some slack.
Yeah. He does have a good line that is, you know, in that movie. It's like, what does God need with a starship?
Okay. I like
Which
it.
Which is the whole point of, you know, the movie. But
yeah.
So anyway, he has a sense of humor now, I think. So
I think he does.
He's kind of belted dead.
And it looks great.
Yeah. Worst picture. So Speed Zone, obviously on our to-do list. Roadhouse, which that Roadhouse was a big deal movie at the time. I don't know if I guess Patrick Swayze was a big deal. I don't know if you were too young or not even around at that time, but
I remember he was huge. He was also in a TV series called the North and South.
North and South, yep.
Which I loved as a kid because I was a big Civil War fan.
You love that history stuff.
I did, and I watched that. I remember he came out one time. There's one scene, he comes out, and all the horses, and he was Confederate. He goes, you're under arrest under the Confederate States of America, and he pulls his gun out. I was like, oh, Roadhouse. Go get him, Roadhouse. Go get him, Ghost. It was awesome.
He was a good actor, you know, even though...
He was a good actor.
He kind of... At the time, it kind of felt like he was like a one-note actor, but he really wasn't, so... But
yeah.
Anyway.
Underrated.
Lock Up, Sliced Stallone.
Lock Up.
Karate Kid Part 3. Fair enough. Winner was Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
Congratulations, Star Trek V. Is that fair, Robert, in your world? Who would you have picked to win this out of those?
It is not a good film, and it was coming off one of the most successful Star Trek films ever that Star Trek IV crossed a lot of barriers of... It was not your normal Star Trek audience. Everybody went to go see it, non-Star Trek fans, and it was good, kind of fun movie.
Yeah.
And it's still pretty good. It's comedic, and it's obviously not all kind of sci-fi-ish and so forth. So
sure.
Part of it's like, there's a good, people want, you know, how are you going to follow that up? And I think Shatner actually read his Star Trek movie memories books. He had an uphill battle between, they kept cutting back the budget and they wouldn't let him do this and they, you know, cut up. So
it's the studio's fault.
Yeah. So that did not help. But in the end, even if he had a bigger budget, whatever, it still would not have been as, it still wouldn't have been a good movie, I don't think.
Yeah. They redeemed themselves in the sixth one, right?
Yes. So, yeah. And I, nobody would go see it with Star Trek VI with me, so I had to go see it by myself. I remember
in
college. I know.
Don't dare them.
I know, but I did like Star Trek VI, so yeah, they did come back around for that.
Yeah. The Star Trek IV was the voyage home where they went to the aquarium.
Yep.
Right. Okay. And that was a massive movie. Like that huge.
Yeah. Save the Whales. It came out Thanksgiving-ish and, you know, there was a hype around it. And, yeah. So, but yeah, it was a good movie. I still like that one.
Perfect Storm.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Now you're going to go on a whole tangent. Of accents.
Of course. No, I won't. I won't.
But what state was that supposed to take place in?
Perfect Storm.
Yeah.
Massachusetts.
Okay, perfect. So
that was a bad accent movie.
We can integrate our other Boston's.
It's
all the same universe.
It's just fish. You can't fish. So bad.
Anyway, so that's the Razzies.
That's the Razzies of the 80s. Congratulations to all the nominees and to the finalists.
Please cross your fingers. Speed Zone is on Tubi.
But yeah, we need to start getting Tubi to sponsor the show.
Otherwise,
okay, and next,
otherwise, I have to buy it on VHS. So come on.
Yeah. Get the Betamax fired up because Speed Zone's coming home tonight. Okay, and next we have, I guess I'm in the hot seat for a, I love these segments, movie tagline quiz.
Yeah, so first one is a softball, and this will also indicate the year that we're looking at for taglines.
Okay.
An adventure, 65 million years in the making.
Jurassic Park.
Correct. So we are obviously dealing with 1993
films. 1993
films.
I love it. Perfect way to start it off.
Get your mindset around that. How old were you in 93? Dare I ask?
I was 12.
Ugh.
Or 11. 12 and 11.
Yeah, me too.
But it was a big movie going year for me, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. So, yeah, some of these I'm like, oh, there's a couple favorites in here. So there's some impressionable and some that you'll be like, I have no idea. All right. And some of these taglines do kind of give it away if you're kind of thinking about it. So are you ready?
I am ready, sir.
A murdered wife. A one-armed man. An obsessed detective. The chase begins.
A one-armed man?
Yeah. I thought if you've seen the movie, that should kind of give it away. But
93. Then it would have to be a one-armed man. North with Elijah Wood.
It is not North, but Harrison Ford.
Oh.
The chase begins.
Okay. Then it's The Fugitive.
It is The Fugitive.
Oh, the one-armed man. That's right. Yeah.
So
Richard Kimball, the doctor.
Yes.
I didn't kill my wife.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I was about to start spouting lines.
I don't care. The famous scene besides the train was, remember the jump from the
the
water
access place? Used to do stunts. Yeah. I mean, it's exciting. That used to be like, oh, I'm going to go see that movie now because you saw the stunt. But
the real deal.
Now we're like, huh.
That was 93. Yeah.
All right. This one, I didn't correlate this tagline, but I included it. They made him an offer he should have refused.
They made him an offer he should have refused. Ooh. So it's Godfather kind of spoof?
No. That's why I was like, that's why I thought the tagline doesn't quite. Yeah. So some of these are a little difficult. Yeah. That's why I was like,
He should have refused. Ace Ventura?
No. I'll say it's more or less a job offer.
Oh.
I'll tell you, it's The Firm.
Oh, Demolition Man?
The Firm.
The Firm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So if you see the movie, but I was like, yeah, what? They are trying to do a little Godfather thing and it doesn't quite match the movie or would get people in the theater. So.
But I get it. Yeah. Just as long as Tom Cruise is running, that's all I care about.
All right. Next one.
Good one.
What if someone you never met, someone you never saw, someone you never knew was the only someone for you?
I'm going to guess it's a romantic comedy.
It is.
Sandra Bullock?
No.
Nicolas Cage?
No.
All right, I'm not going to get it then. My 90s romantic comedies are limited to Nicolas Cage and Sandra Bullock.
It may be the male lead, maybe somebody that I watched an 80s movie with this.
Can you read the tagline one more time, sir?
Yes. Now I lost it. What if someone you never met, someone you never saw, someone you never knew was the only someone for you? It's a Nora Ephron film, Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh!
You were close. I could tell you were close.
For some reason, I thought that would have been, that was earlier, yeah. But 93. Yeah. Okay.
Good one. This one has two taglines. The first one, I don't think, but the first tagline is, she will rock your world.
She will rock your world.
But the next tagline is, she makes dinner, she does windows, she reads bedtime stories, she's a blessing in disguise.
Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
There it is.
Oh!
Hello! What was the first tagline?
She will rock your world.
It's such a weird tagline.
So. I know. That's why like some of these are kind of strange.
Yeah, like she will rock your world. Like, what is that implying? Yeah,
I don't know.
Because it's not like she was a rock star.
No. That's why like some of these are just... And then you could kind of see it on the poster, but then it's like, what...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is the... Oh, no! I'm melting like a snow cone, Yeti and Phoenix.
All right. A husband, a wife, a millionaire, a proposal.
Indecent proposal.
Correct.
What if I offered you $1 million to sleep with your wife? He'd tell you to go to hell. I'd tell you to go to hell.
Did you see this when you were 12?
Yeah, I saw that movie when I was much younger. Well, I didn't see it in the theater, obviously, but when it came out on like Prism or whatever we had,
yeah.
I watched it.
Gotcha.
Unbeknownst to my parents, I watched it.
Of course. Now they know. They're going to hear this.
They're going to know.
All right. An assassin on the loose, a president in danger. Only one man stands between them.
An assassin on the loose. Is it Harrison Ford in this?
No.
Is it The Professional?
No.
Is it an assassin on the loose, present danger, and a man stands between them?
Yes.
Just grant me this. Is it a fictional or nonfiction film?
Fiction.
Murder at 1600.
No. In the Line of Fire.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should know that. I do like that movie, yeah. Too. Although Clint Eastwood's like 60, he's like,
how old
here
was
to
he
protect
in
the president.
He's probably like still in the service. Yeah.
Well, that was the premise, was he was there the day Kennedy got shot, and he was like still guarding the president.
Yeah. It's like, can you keep up? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
All right. This one has two taglines as well. First one is, hang on. I thought that didn't give you too much. So
cliffhanger.
It is cliffhanger.
Okay, cool.
There you go. The other ones were, actually, there was two other ones. The Height of Adventure or An Avalanche of Thrills.
Okay. You know, I've never seen Cliffhanger.
I thought it was pretty good.
Pretty good? I know they're rebooting it.
Yeah, so you should probably take a look at that.
I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. It made me nervous in the theater because...
Oh, you got, like, sweaty.
I did get a little, yeah. In the opening scene, maybe a little sweaty. So anyway, this tagline also, I felt like did not quite is when I say the tagline, it may or may not match what you have in mind. For the actual movie. How far would you go for a friend?
How far would you go for a friend? I've seen this tagline.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm going to get it. Is it, what kind of movie is it?
It's a kid's movie.
How far would you go for a friend?
Yes. That's why I was like,
Would it be, I don't know. I will not get this.
It'd be A Friend in the Water. Free Willy.
Free Willy.
I know. That's why I was like, oh, all right.
Hold me. Like the River Jordan. Yeah, Free Willy.
I've never seen Free Willy.
Yeah, it's probably very bad. I've seen it once. Yeah. But it was bad.
You were the right age to go see it, so I don't know.
Yeah, Free Willy, man. You know, it was weird because it came out after Jurassic Park, I think. And you're probably, like, can we just go see Jurassic Park again? Like, it did not stand a chance against Spielberg.
No. What could?
What could?
All right. He's having the worst day of his life over and over.
Groundhog Day.
It is Groundhog Day.
Perfect. Perfect. I forget. You don't like Groundhog Day, do you?
No. No.
Not for you?
Yeah, not quite. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
In a country where anybody can become president, anybody just did.
Dave.
It is Dave. I knew you'd be excited. That's why I was looking at Dave. I was like, this is your year.
You know, I love Dave so much and the movie The American President. And recently I bought the DVD. They were a double feature. It was Dave and the American President for like $5 at the Grove. Because they're like, you know what, for you people, I know you lump these together. Just take the movie. And I'm like, this is perfect. Dave is so much good, man. So good.
I know you love it.
I love it.
The 21st century's most dangerous cop. The 21st century's most ruthless criminal.
Demolition Man.
It is Demolition Man, which
I still love. John Spartan.
Yes.
Good year for film, 93.
I thought so, yeah.
Yeah. Not as good as 84, but like up there, I think.
I agree.
Like I agree. Overall, I think 84 had better quality films. 93 had more like blockbusters.
But there's some decent ones. Like all of these are much better than what we've even had in 2023. So.
Oh, yeah.
This one has some multiple ones. Say, did someone say action? Another one go ahead.
The River Wild?
Nope. Okay. A great classic comes to the screen, which is very presumptuous.
Then this is not like a reboot or a remake?
No, it is not.
Very presumptuous. Great classic comes to the screen.
Is it an animated
film?
It is not. Okay. And finally, this isn't the movies anymore.
Oh. I'm not going to get it.
Last Action Hero.
Oh, great. So this is presumptuous.
Supposed to be a big hit, but obviously it could not compete with.
Is Last Action Hero still under construction on SetJetter.com?
It probably is.
Okay. We talked about that last summer.
I think I did an update of some sort, but I think I was still working on some stuff. But I think I did a true update because I think, I don't know. We'll have to check it out. So.
Yeah.
All right. We'll you ready to... for the next one?
Yes, sir.
Upscale. Oh, you're looking at it now. Let's see. Did I update it? It's still under construction, which just means I have more work to do. But there's some good pictures on there.
I picture you working on it every week, though. Like, we're going to get this right until it goes live.
Sweating out. Yeah. People are depending on it.
Quick question about Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
This is a movie I've seen in the drive-in and in the theater. I was a big fan of this movie. I actually enjoy it more and more as I get older. I get all its flaws, but just like the ticket, you know? And just that kid and the Schwarzenegger's like, and the mom is like, oh, you're like Mozart, you know, and it's just so bad, but it is fun, right? It's a fun movie.
I didn't see it in the theater because I felt like it stunk and I was kind of staying away from it. But I did like it. I definitely like the concept of it, and they do some fun things. I mean, I loved that Arnold obviously could have the ability to get have a scene where Robert Patrick and Sharon Stone are both walking out the door at the same time from the police station, and you know, like,
yes,
it was just a perfect cameos time, you know, like, never be able to do that again, you know.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Good call. But,
where am I at on my list? All right, Upscale Neighborhood, Down Home Heart.
I feel like I know this. Upscale Neighborhood, Down Home Heart, Beverly Hillbillies.
It is the Beverly Hillbillies.
Yes,
the Who second played, one. Yeah.
Jed Clampett?
The comedian, tall comedian. I can't remember now.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. He was good.
I like the movie.
Yeah. The movie holds up, you know, Lily Tomlin and
yeah,
Cloris Leachman, and yeah, it still holds up for me. I think
it does hold up.
Yeah. Dolly Parton also has a cameo, of course. So
yeah, it does hold up. That is a fun movie. It's cute.
This one has a couple different options. I will give you the first one is The Adventures of an Ordinary Man at War with the Everyday World.
The Adventures of an Ordinary Man at War with an Ordinary World.
Everyday World.
Everyday World.
And the second one is A Tale of Urban Reality.
Is this a gangster film?
There may be some thugs.
Gangster rap?
No, but not that. Not where you're going down. No. I'll say no.
Can you read the first tagline one more time, sir?
The Adventures of an Ordinary Man at War with the Everyday World.
Falling Down.
It is Falling Down.
Yes, Falling Down. Yes.
Which we talked about just last week, I think. So when I was talking about D.D. Pfeiffer. So
that is a good movie.
So I do Joel Schumacher. Yeah, so there's good pieces in it.
Yeah.
I thought as a whole, it has not quite. It's a good 90s time capsule of LA for better
yes.
or worse.
Yeah, I think it's good for that and yeah. for a few scenes. But as a whole, when people are like, it's the best movie ever. No.
Anyway.
It also doesn't age very well with the violence, unfortunately.
No.
We're not at a point where that's like far from what happened. So it's not.
Correct.
It's hard to watch him mowing down innocents.
Yeah, and when, yeah. as we talked about last time, like D.D. Pfeiffer, I'm like, well, now that's like another Tuesday in L.A. Like this,
right.
This would not even be the top story.
For, no, no, not at all.
Sadly.
True.
All right. The mother of all sequels.
The mother of all sequels. 93 sequel. This is an overreach, but what year did the first movie come out? Or what, around what year?
Let me check as you're thinking about it.
Because
it came out in 1991, so 2 years before.
Oh, okay. Not gonna get it, sir.
Hot Shots Part Deux.
Oh yeah. War, it's fantastic.
That's all right.
Funny.
You'll laugh again, you'll cry again, you'll hurl again.
Wayne's World 2.
It is Wayne's World 2.
Yeah, we're going to put on Wayne stock. I had to be beaten to death with his own shoes. Then Ozzy got the M&Ms and went on stage and did a great show.
Whew. So this was one of that. Obviously, that was one of
bad
your
sequel,
ones.
Man.
That, yeah.
You know, do you remember Wayne's World 2, how it ended? It just
no.
ends. It yeah. just ends. They're at,
really?
they're at Wayne's stock. Aerosmith goes on stage, and then Wayne meets up with Cassandra. There's a whole other element that's like unsolved, and the credits start rolling, and you're like, oh,
wait.
I guess Aerosmith like was enough for us to forget about that plot point with Christopher Walken. Okay, dude looks like a lady. Let's enjoy it.
Yeah.
It was weird. It just ended. It was like very Children of the Cornish.
I have not seen that in so long. So maybe they took some cues from Children of the Corn, you know.
Maybe they took, yeah, they use the same accountant.
Yeah. So we have some multiple ones here. So I'll start with the first one, first tagline. The creator of the first returns to bring you the last.
The creator of the first returns to bring you the last. I don't know.
And that's one. It might just be one. No, there's three. So next one is also a short one. Evil has finally found a home. That probably doesn't give you much either.
It wasn't Jason Goes to Hell.
It is Jason Goes to Hell, the Final Friday. And let me read you the last one. Horror has many faces. Death wears many different masks, but pure evil wears only one. And this is your final chance to see it.
There it is.
Even though he rarely wears the mask in the movie. But.
Right. And I didn't realize this until you told me on a previous show, but they didn't call it Friday the 13th because it was under different. It wasn't E-Line anymore.
They already had legal issues at the time. Yeah. So.
So that's why it's not Friday the 13th. It's just the final Friday. The
final Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh. Did they not have the mask because of legal issues, or was that just...
No, it's just because, you know, he gets killed in the first scene, and then it's body to body, and then it comes back at the end. But
that little worm thing, I mean, that is a bad movie.
It was just a strange... Yeah, no.
But Joey's Diner is covered on setjitter.com in that entry.
Which I think is gone now. I think it's already... I think it might have been demolished even since my visit. I'll have to look, but I thought somebody said they were... It was out in Thousand Oaks, but... Not sure if it's there anymore.
Yeah. And the house was in Pasadena?
No, the house was out there as well. Jason's house, the Voorhees house, was probably not too far from Woodland Hills. For some reason, I think it might not be too far from the Reston Development House, if I remember right. But more Chatsworth, if I remember right. So, but yeah. Oh, the Voorhees. All right. The store wants to collect the ultimate price only.
The store wants to collect the ultimate price only?
Yeah, which is kind of a strange one. I have another one here, but that might give it away.
Needful Things.
It is Needful Things.
Really?
Yeah. The second tagline is the town of Castle Rock.
Oh, there it is.
Just made a deal with the devil. Now it's time to pay.
Needful Things. Good call.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. We talked about before the... they're going to release the longer cut or the television cut and kind of restored version. So
I'd be looking forward to that too.
Yeah. Okay. That's two more to go. One.
Okay.
Second to last.
I love it.
These children are home alone too, but their parents are never coming back.
Oh man. I know this one. These children are home alone too.
But their parents are never coming back.
Oh, is this a horror movie?
It is.
Yeah. Is it People Under the Stairs?
No.
That's not even 1993.
These children.
Children of the Corn Part 3?
Two.
Two?
Children of the Corn 2, The Final Sacrifice. Obviously, it was not The Final Sacrifice because we had many more.
So there was like 10-year gap between the first and the second one, and they made that many?
Apparently, yeah.
Wow. The 90s, they were just piling them out every year then.
Yeah, so I think, and this might have been the time where they started. So this shows...
Good call.
For some reason, this showed up as a 93 film, but I think they did have a release in 92. But
And if I'm not mistaken, this was the last Children of the Corn to be released theatrically.
It might have been, so... But yeah. But yeah, so for some things, I showed as a 92, but...
Interesting.
One of the things I was looking at had a 93 release, so I included it here. So,
Children of the Corn, The Final Sacrifice, but it's not the final.
Yeah. I wonder let me see when Children of the Corn 3.
I think 3 was Urban Harvest.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah, that one I saw. That was a Blockbuster rental.
Yeah. So last one, I'm not sure if you'll get or not, but it is one of my favorite movie taglines ever.
Ooh, okay, I'm excited.
It's short. See it with a bud.
See it with a bud. Is it Baby Geniuses?
It is not.
Get that baby.
So it's a favorite movie of mine, but it's literally one of my favorite taglines because I just thought it was a great tagline.
And it's see the movie with a bud?
See it with a bud.
See it with a bud. Okay, a 93, and it's one of your favorite like movies ever.
It's one of my top.
Really.
40, yeah.
Okay. Then it would be The Lion King.
It is not The Lion King.
Give me another hint, sir.
Bud is not necessarily a person.
Oh, okay. I'm just thinking of marijuana references. So, Does marijuana play a role in this?
It does.
It does?
It does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why I kind of like the tagline.
you're gonna kill me for this. I don't know what it is.
Dazed and Confused.
Oh, there it is. Perfect.
But I love that tagline for that movie.
That is a great tagline.
It was a good tagline.
That is a great tagline.
So you did pretty good.
Thanks, sir. That was a good quiz.
Yeah.
As always, you're looking for clues that aren't there, and it's very, but it all makes sense once you know what it is. So it's
once you hear it, you're like, of course it's that. But yeah.
That was a good job. That was a fun one. So we've done 84, 93, and 1990, I believe.
Okay. Yeah. You should write that down somewhere so we don't accidentally backtrack.
I'll make a little note here.
A year.
So far we've done 84, 1990, and 1993. And that'll bring us to Blind Man. Great job, Robert. That was a fun one.
No, you did a good job. Thank you.
Thank you. Blind Man's Bluff. This is where we do a random setjetter.com entry, and we're going to prelude it with the description.
Right.
I mentioned to Robert before the show, these are automatically, randomly generated. It was Capricorn 1, but since we've already covered that, we had to spin the wheel again. Which will bring us to this. Description reads, one of my favorite period pieces has always been blank, starring Yay. I went to these locations over 10 years ago, way before I was bringing any screenshots. So forgive the amateur shots. And it's a Clint Eastwood movie.
The Changeling.
Yes, sir. Right out of the bat. The Changeling, 2008. It's about the chicken coop murder or something.
Yeah.
But tell us about this. Where is San Dimas, first of all? I don't know.
It is out there. It's past, it's closer to Redlands, if I remember right.
Oh, it's up there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's before Redlands, but it's after Covina. So somewhere in between there. So.
Okay.
But yeah, have you seen The Changeling or?
I don't remember.
Okay. So, and there's another movie called Changeling or The Changeling, but this is just Changeling. So.
Right. Yeah. This is the one with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah. So.
No, I haven't seen this one.
Okay. Yeah. So I would recommend, to me, it is one of my, I think they did a great job.
You would recommend this film.
I would recommend this. So yeah. So, Her House is way out there in
San Dimas.
And then, the schools and Pasadena, of course, as everything is.
Of course. It fits very well.
Yeah.
This is a behind the scenes shot?
No, that's. Oh, it is. I'm sorry. Yeah. So.
Okay.
I think I was just searching for screenshots and.
Oh, I got you.
That's the. Unless they did a very bad job.
Yeah, that's quite the editing the job they did there. I know this church.
Yeah. So I think the church, they only use it as kind of a. Establishing shot, but
okay,
yep. And then
now the psychopathic ward, because she was locked up because she thought it wasn't her son, kind of thing.
Yep. They locked her up because to shut her up, and so this has played psychopath. I mean, it was one of the Annabelles or something like that, or what's the maybe the Conjuring? Remember, like Lin Shaye is supposed to be in here at the end of.
I've seen that.
This was also the college in American Pie 2, I think, and it was just in Westworld season 4, and it's been in You season like this.
Oh.
This is used in everything.
What is the actual building?
I think it's apartments, if I remember right.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is just literally used with everything, and so every once in a while I pop down there and try to get some decent shots. But I think I probably have better shots I could. But it's kind of gated off, so you can't get.
Yeah, I'm noticing the gates here. You can't just like waltz in.
Yeah, I'm sure
you did a good job.
Try so. LA City Hall is played by LA City Hall, so good for them.
Good for them.
Yeah, I years ago I went all the way out to San Bernardino, California, to get. Without having screenshots, kind of looking at these, I feel like I did a decent job.
You did a really good job, and this is actually a really interesting looking building.
Yeah, so their train station, which I think is still a real train depot, if I remember correctly. So
that's a cool shot.
They've shot some other things out there as well, but
this is really cool. Oh yeah, this is a great page.
And then so Universal Studios, so they used a lot of New York streets, but this is before the fire, and so I don't really have a lot of good kind of matching shots. So I think fire was in 2007-ish or 8, I can't remember. So after they shot the movie, of course, but
Unfortunately, none of this area exists anymore.
Yeah, so a lot of that stuff burnt down.
Oh, that's so sad.
As it does in Universal every 13 years, I think. But
I feel like that's a trend.
Yeah.
Well, you know where Universal is. It is pivoted to be like a hot spot for fire.
It is. It is. So, but yeah. So I'm.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah. So they they let me sit in her spot for the, what do you call the telephone thingies?
Yeah, the operators.
Telephone operator things where she's kind of doing that. So, sadly, well, I remember our tour guide. He said Angelina and her family, it was probably Brad at the time, and the kids took the VIP tour, and it was like just them, and she recognized that and took pictures with it and so forth. So,
oh yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And then I swear a few years after, I swear I just saw this thing sitting outside, like in the elements, you know, I was like, well, it's gone. You know, I felt. Now there's a huge deal, you know, but I'm like, I'm sure they should save some more stuff like that.
I feel like it should be better protected.
It should.
So it was just in the elements, like just hanging out.
It was like literally I just saw it outside next to the some alley at Universal Studios. I'm like, oh, take care
of that. That is sad.
So, yeah.
They should have given it to you.
But yeah, I recommend The Changeling. I feel like I watched it on one of its anniversaries. And it still held up pretty well for me. So, and then I kind of go down the rabbit hole of the real story as well.
Yeah, I did research the real story, and it is sad and also fascinating. And that was in the 1920s, I believe. I
believe so, yes.
The movie, just looking at your pictures, it makes me really want to watch it now. And it looks beautifully shot.
We should add it to your homework list.
Yeah, I am going to add it to the homework list.
Yeah.
Have you, is this a movie you revisit?
Every few years, I do, actually. So it is a favorite of mine. That is true. Even
and
I feel like every page starts, this is a favorite of mine. Like, really? 600 of your favorite movies? Yeah.
And in honor, before we go, of the 40th anniversary of Jaws 3D, I would like to close the show with the trailer of Jaws 3D.
Yay.
For everybody. Is that approved, sir?
Yes, it is approved. I'm kind of curious what the trailer is.
All right. Jaws 3D trailer, everybody.
With the first, you were too terrified to go back in the water. Just when you were starting to think it was safe, along came the second. Now, nature's most terrifying creature. Oh! Has returned in an all-new adventure. Jaws 3. A new dimension in terror. On the surface, all is calm.
A shark with a bite radius about a yard across.
Indicator. A shark of some 35 feet in length.
Jaws 3.
Quick, fight!
Is to experience a new dimension in terror.
So much green. So much green hue in that movie. I love it.
Oh, they make it kind of horrific. Like, you're like, this is a dark movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love how early on the still of it, like the end when the shark crashes through where they're all the slow motion, like the facial expressions.
I do remember people groaning and laughing a little bit in the theater at some of the 3D effects really? Early on. Yeah, and I was like, what are you laughing at? It's fun. Yeah, but, or, you know, you're young and you're grabbing at the screen. And,
what are you laughing at?
I think they just stole Friday the 13th Part 3's tagline, A New Dimension in Terror.
Yep.
It was a year before. Come on.
Yep.
Universal.
I did pick up on that. And you can get Robert's shirt he's wearing tonight at many places, or a few places, but I'm going to get mine at Fright Rags.
Yes.
Is that where you bought yours?
This is where I got that. Yep.
All right. And it's only available in small right now, so I am not getting that tonight. At least
you can
not
still wear
one.
It. Just cinch it.
I'm at the age, Robert, where I'm no longer wearing mediums. I've upgraded to larges. They're just getting smaller and smaller.
It's not my fault.
They're
making things smaller, people. I don't know what happened.
But I do love your shirt. I'm so glad you wore that, because I was actually thinking about that the other day. Like, I was sitting there and I'm like, Robert has a really cool Jaws 3D shirt. I need to get that.
Well, I gave you a very cool Jaws shirt as well. That's
And that is my favorite Jaws shirt. Jaws the Revenge. You know, I get more compliments from that shirt than
really?
Like any other shirt. Yeah.
If you were like, yes.
No, yeah, like a few people, if people know the movie, they like the movie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they'll appreciate it. And I do love that shirt. It is perfect.
Seal the park.
Your fandom for Jaws 3D is much appreciated. I like that you it's just so bad it's good. You know, it's fun.
You have to have a love for it. So, and I have my Jaws 3D trading card still.
That is cool that you still have those.
Oh yeah.
When did you get those? Like originally?
Oh yeah, I remember. Yeah, I buy them in a single pack until I got all of them. So, so they have cards, and then on the back would be a kind of a cartoon with the red and blue 3D.
The trading cards, 36. So, yeah. Are these the Topps one?
Yep.
You actually own this? Do you still have the case for it?
I have. Yeah. But yeah, what are you pulling? So I don't have the case. I have a whole set of cards. I probably have a couple sets. So I will dig those out for you.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool that you still have those. Thanks for keeping them.
Oh, I have. Yeah. They're precious.
They are precious. You know, they're starting to come back with kind of the toys and things you can get from movies now for nostalgia for people like us and our age.
Yeah.
But they don't. Back until now, and they didn't make them like they did in the 80s. It was just so cool. The stuff you could get. They didn't have the internet. You had to have something tangible. And it was very cool.
You had to buy a pack at a time, and eventually you got the entire set. And
oh, yeah.
Remember, the last card would be a checklist card, and you'd write on it. Like, why were you messing up these cards? But
Why would this happen?
I don't know.
You really do have these, though.
I do. Okay. Yeah, I'll take some pictures. I'll send them to you. I'll send you some pictures that... They are something wonderful.
Something wonderful.
Speaking of, we cannot wait for the Hollywood show in October.
Who's coming?
Mariel Hemingway from Superman 4.
Nice.
Which they just added
reason,
her. Yep, so.
Reason alone to go.
John Lovitz.
Really?
From A League of Their Own.
Of course.
He's been in other stuff, of course. But obviously the one I'm most excited about is Pia Zadora, the lonely lady herself. Yeah. But once I saw
so cool.
Mariel Hemingway was coming, I was like, yes.
Yes.
Bring all your Superman 4 memorabilia.
You have to go.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We'll go, Robert. We'll make a day of it.
Yes.
What is John Lovitz doing now? I mean, I know his club closed. Is he active anywhere?
I don't know, actually.
He'd be great to see. He's a classic.
I would think
classic
so.
Character actor.
Hopefully, he's not a jackass in real life, but you just never know.
You never know.
But yeah. So that like already, cool. I was like, yeah. Those two alone between Mariel and Pia, I was like, oof.
Oh hell yeah!
I'm just gonna hover around your table all day.
That is so cool.
And today's the year anniversary for Nope.
Speaking oh right,
of Hollywood show, Hollywood show, where because Donna Mills, I should have asked her about Nope, and I did not at the time. But
when you saw her last month,
yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Nope was kind of one of her step back into.
Yeah.
What are you doing in this movie? I'm glad she is in it, but
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of a strange choice. But I think she had to audition for it, which is
interesting.
Sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
She sent an audition tape for it. And I was like, oh, come on, Jordan. It's Donna Mills.
Please. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need to do that.
No,
Pia Zadora.
I don't think
I get Pia, you're going to have to do an audition tape, but not Donna Mills.
No. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Come on. Help her out here.
Mariel can put together her sizzle reel with Superman 4. And yeah, how much a ticket's going to cost?
It's only money.
Lacey, it's only money.
Oh, so funny. Yeah, the disparage of economics in Superman 4 is amazing. It's only money. And that apartment that she owns in Park Ave, like, it's great. The reporter's salary must have been pretty crazy in Metropolis.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to bring from Superman 4.
What would you bring?
I don't know. I have a couple of different things, but we'll see.
I'm going to look. And if this is in October?
Yeah, so I think it's the week after, the second weekend in October, if I remember right. October 6th and 7th.
Okay, cool.
So the weekend before is the Halloween 45th anniversary, and the weekend after is the Buffy thing in Torrance. So.
Oh, you're going to be here for like a good week.
I think I'll just be here for 3 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to do some live shows then at like a proper studio.
Yeah.
So bring your Jaws 3D shirt. We should do that when you're here. We should do a proper like filmed thing in a studio.
Film.
We'll actually
be on the set.
We
should actually do it somewhere inappropriate and do it on the set. On the Lost World set in downtown Burbank.
Here we are in downtown Burbank. Oh, that's fun. Oh, yeah, I'm looking at the dates. There's some cool... There's the website for the dates in October, and there's some cool folks coming.
So with Jaws 3D, this is, I think, the perfect Shark Week time.
Perfect,
obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
What a lead-in to
Mighty Shark Week, which begins tomorrow with Jason Momoa shirtless, I'm sure.
I think it's probably part of his claws. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about his commercial, but
it's not good.
Yeah, I'm.
I didn't like it. It was cringe.
Yeah. I don't quite get the fandom for it, but like, you know, it brings more people in. But go ahead.
Aquaman was a long time ago.
I guess it'd be better than Amber Heard on the beach.
Oh. Ezra Miller on Shark Week.
Amber Heard and Ezra Miller co-hosting Shark Week. Oh, that would be fantastic, actually.
What's your prediction on Amber Heard? She's obviously going to do work again, but it's going to be like a novelty thing, right? I mean, because people will see it now because she's Amber Heard for that reason, but she's not gonna.
I don't know. So she was in The Informers,
right?
I think she was nude half the time too. But
it's her contract.
Yeah. I don't know. She's gonna kind of fizzle. Is she gonna do yachting stuff instead? I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Is she gonna have to go the showgirls route? Is what I'm picturing.
Yeah, it has to be something along those lines.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
She needs to marry rich is what she needs to do.
She needs to marry someone in Lincoln, Nebraska. Is what they need to do. Nebraska's been in the news recently. I've been seeing a lot of headlines. Maybe my algorithms have picked up Nebraska, but I'm broadcast a lot of Nebraska stories.
Usually we're not the good headlines, but yeah.
Oh, it was the teen sent to 90 days in jail.
Yes.
That's the one that was popping up.
Way to go, Nebraska.
I won't get dark on the air, but it was way to go, Governor of Nebraska.
We'll show you Nebraska. It's not for everyone, obviously.
Still the greatest slogan ever, though. It's not for everyone.
Speaking of bad taglines, oof. We have a lot of bad taglines.
Yeah, the official state motto for Nebraska is it's not for everyone. Or it's not for everybody.
Maybe it's everyone or everybody. I can't remember one of those. So,
but it's amazing.
Yeah, and I think our chamber tagline is still "We don't coast."
We don't coast.
We're not like the East or West Coast. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's okay though.
Yeah, and of course our golden sewer license plates that were recalled and
that is still the best. The cellar plates. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Did you have one in your car?
No, I think they took them away.
You like dodged it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But
what's on the Nebraska license plate now? Is it...
Well, now you can choose anything. Like now they're pretty plain, but now you have like 80 options to choose from. So
my
license plate is arts. So it's like you can pay $5 and have a one that kind of to support the arts and stuff like that. So
oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. But literally you can choose anything. And of course there's some very conservative license plates as well, if you want to make sure your value, everybody knows your values.
I'm sure.
You can imagine, but
I can imagine.
Nebraska. No children in the corn plates yet, but
that's what like, the direction needs to happen.
What was the a living nightmare or whatever the tagline was?
An adult nightmare.
An adult nightmare in Nebraska. That is the perfect Nebraska tagline.
And a ricket shall lead them nightmare. Or wherever the governor.
Oh, God.
I feel adult like nightmare.
I should make fake Nebraska license plates that you are right in front of the corn.
An adult nightmare.
Adult Welcome nightmare. Nebraska. Nebraska. Perfect.
That's fun.
Perfect. I'm gonna
that I would up. Buy.
I'm going to put it through the legislature and see how far it gets.
Yeah, they'll approve it, I'm sure. It's worth it.
I have my rights.
I love my God. I love my guns. All right. That'll be our show tonight. Robert, thank you, as always, sir, for taking the time.
Likewise. Enjoy Shark Week.
Enjoy Shark Week. Everybody out there, thank you, sir. We'll kick it off with Jaws 3D tonight. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Set Jetter Saturdays. We will see you on the set.
Seal the park.